Good morning. The kids can be dismissed to go with Miss Shayna in the bright pink back there. It's my lovely wife of almost 30 years. Holy cow. My son's back there too. He's, I think he's the bouncer today. Is that what you'd call him? The bouncer? In case somebody gets out of control, we'll put Brian in charge. Next Sunday, there's a fellowship meal on October 1st. All are welcome to join. Contact Marlene Wasinger for more information if you're coming. Marlene teaches back in the children's or in the preschool room. So if you have questions or want to get a hold of her, you can find her. And Tom is her husband. He'll know how to find her, I think. Right, Tom? Yeah, most days. Today, I get to share a message with you. I know you guys are excited, you know, that you get me and not Pastor Tim. Not really. I mean, you know, I got a few things. Been around a while. I've learned a few things over the years. Today, I want to talk about being selfish. You know, there's an old story about, monkeys and how they used to catch monkeys. They'd put a gourd and tie it to the ground and put a small hole in it and put a banana in it. And the monkey would go in and grab the banana, but he couldn't get his hand out because he kept holding on to that banana, right? Well, you know, some of us are like that monkey. We're not smart enough to let go of the banana and go on and find a ton of banana somewhere else. But we hold on to things. We're closed-fisted in a lot of things in our lives. And, you know, the other thing it reminds me of, have you ever seen those videos of the dogs carrying a stick like this and they're trying to go through a door and they keep hitting the door because the stick's blocking them? They're not sharp enough to let the stick go because they don't want the other dogs to get the stick, right? So sometimes in life and in this society, we're so connected, but we're disconnected. You know, we're so connected by phones, by electronics, and by media and everything that we're disconnected from each other. And sometimes we need to learn to be great givers and not be selfish, not think of ourselves in any way. In Proverbs 11:24, it says, "One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty." Now that unduly means you have the ability to give, but you just don't because you want to hold it for yourself. You know, one man gives freely, yet even gains more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. So it's, you know, it's like the open-fisted person. They're willing to give. They're willing to share themselves, their time, their talent, their treasure. They're willing to share themselves as a whole to everybody. The other ones are holding on to things. Anything I can get my hands on to, I'm going to hold on to. You got to ask yourself sometimes, which one am I? Which person am I? Am I closed-fisted or am I an open-fisted person? I can tell you in my life at times, I grew up, I was the youngest child in my family. My parents got divorced when I was in high school, and we didn't have much. You know, we didn't have much, so you tended to try to grab onto things and hold on to it because you didn't know if you were going to get that again, right? Well, it took me a while to learn that just by doing that, it creates all kinds of problems in my life. By not being an open-minded, an open-fisted giver, it took me a while to learn that this scripture says, given freely, yet gains even more. That doesn't make sense, does it? Doesn't make sense to me sometimes. So we got to look at our own hands sometimes. Some characteristics of some open-minded, open-handed people, they're generous. You know those people, you walk around, they're generous people. They do things all the time to help people. They give of their time. They're willing to give to others to help with whatever. They're willing to give of their finances. They're willing to give of their words, freely give of their words to share with people. They're generous people. We all know people like that you just like to be around them because they're generous. They're open-handed in everything they do. And, and what's interesting is they don't even think about it. It's a mindset for them to be generous, to be an open-handed person. They're just generous because that's the way they are. Another characteristic of an open-handed person is they have abundance. You know, the scripture says one person gives freely, yet gains even more. You know, that generosity leads to abundance. And that's not why you're generous, but the scripture says it gains even more. That doesn't make sense, does it? If I'm generous and giving stuff away and always helping people out, doing things, you'd think I'd run out eventually. But God says, no. If you have the right mindset and seek me first and do what I've told you to do, you'll gain even more. That's hard to understand for a mortal mind. But if you're a Christ follower, if you believe Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior, that giving heart's already on the inside of you. Because God is the ultimate giver. You can't outgive him. That giving heart is on the inside of you. And when you hold that back, when you go against that giving heart that's inside of you, it kind of messes you up a little bit, right? You're not getting God's full potential for you. You're holding back something. It's hard to hold back. Let me see here. I've got my wallet here. I got $5 in here. I'm loaded. $5. I don't carry a lot of cash, and I guess it's just the day and age we're in. I use cards a lot and take care of those. I look back over my lifetime and I think, man, how did I end up here? How did I end up doing what I'm doing and in the place that I am and have the circles of influence that I've been in? God's opened those doors. Nothing I could do on my own. You know, Jesus made it clear that given it will be given unto you, the same things that a man gives freely yet gains more. It continues to come back to him so that you can create generosity and be abundance. God can trust you. God sees what you do with your resources. He knows that if he gets you more resources, you're going to do what he's telling you to do. He sees your heart. He sees what's going on in your mind or in the depths of your soul. He knows that. He said, oh, I can give it to her. She'll pass it on like I want it to. I can give it to him because he's trustworthy. Even in the small things, he's trustworthy, and they get bigger each time. He knows that he can trust you. Now, what is generosity and abundance, and you get a hold of the scripture, what does that really lead to? It leads to confidence, right? A confidence that God's going to take care of you no matter what. I have this track record that I've been with God for so long, and he's taken me through things and fulfilled things in my life, and it's a established long track record with God. You learn to be a generous person. You've learned to give. And in the matter of giving, what's happening is that you've seen it come back to you even more and more all the time. And you trust in God. You don't worry about the little things anymore because you know God's going to take care of you. You know that he's going to fulfill whatever your need is because he's done it, right? He's done it so many times. You know, I can really be confident in tomorrow because of God, because of what he's done for me in the past, what he's done for you in the past. He's looking for the person to be generous, and which leads to abundance, which leads to confidence, a confident outlook on life. And sometimes that's interesting, isn't it? Confidence is a strange thing. Confidence can be rub some people the wrong way. Take Deion Sanders, for instance. He's a pretty confident individual. Some may say too confident. Some may go to the next extreme level. But there are a few things he says that I'm like, man, if we could just get a hold of that, you know? You didn't make me, so you can't break me? I mean, there's certain things that he says that we need to get a hold of. And he's a believer. Yeah, he's a believer. Now, he's got a little swag to him. Got a little, you know. But you go through the life that he led, you'd need that swag. You do the things that he's done, you'd need that confidence. You know, I always say if a quarterback doesn't have a little bit of swag, you're probably not going to be a very good quarterback because you got to have a good leader. You got to have somebody that's confident in their skills, just like you can be confident in God and his skills. God's got pretty good skills. Let's talk about characteristics of a closed-fisted person. Stinginess. Get all you can, sit on it, and keep it for yourselves, right? Or don't do anything with it. We all know those people that are stingy, that don't, you know, nobody's touching my stuff. It's my stuff, and I'm not letting anybody have it. I'm just going to gather as much as I can. And they're, you know, I'm not saying you don't need to do the right things, take care of business, right? But I'm talking about the extreme stinginess to the fact that, you know, you'll maybe take toilet paper from the hotel so you don't need to buy it, right? I've never done that. Their toilet paper's not very good. I don't want that stuff. They're cheap with their family. They're cheap with their finances. They're cheap with their friends. They're cheap with their words. They're stingy. They, you know, they hoard everything. If I can just get more and hang on to it. If I can just get more, right? What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? God gave it, is given it for a reason. But stinginess can lead to lack. Now, that doesn't seem right, right? But the verse says, another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Now, how does that work? Well, in other words, you have a constant lack in your life. You have this constant feeling in your life that you're lacking something. You take one step forward and you go two steps back. Every time you make a headway, something happens to take you two steps back. Something goes wrong. Maybe your fridge goes out or something like that. It just takes you two steps back. And it leads to, you know, lack in your life. And so sometimes that can feed on itself. You lead to lack, you get more stingy, you get more stingy, it gets to lack. It can be a vicious cycle, and it can be a vicious mindset to have that kind of mindset in your life, that you're always missing something. You're always out of sorts. You know, the dog has to go to the vet. One of the kids needs a, you know, set of braces, you know. Something like that. There's always something, right? There's always something. Isn't there? You know, my car needs new tires. Ah, you know, it'll be all right. God will take care of it. You know, if you're stingy, you buy one tire and hope, you know, the other, and then replace the other one. And what really happens is it wears out the new one quicker than if you put four on. At least that's what they tell me. Maybe they're just trying to sell me four tires. I don't know. It's like a siphon that just keeps pulling things out left and right, and it never stops. And that leads to anxiety. Anybody ever have anxiety about tomorrow, about how am I going to take care of this? How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to do this? I've had it. I mean, I'm human. I've been there. I've done that. But it didn't seem to help. It didn't seem to help. It made me sick, made me not feel well, but it didn't help the situation. But at the end of the day, what happened? It was taken care of. Whatever it was. I mean, you figured, God figured it out. If we would just trust him more, we would have a lot less stress. That's easy to say, right? That's easy to say, to trust God more. Because we can't see him. We can't see him. Can you see him? I can't see him. We got to trust what his word says. Believe what his word says. That's a lot harder to do than if you're standing here right in front of somebody and you've got a relationship with somebody. Some of my best friends in life have two or three good friends, and that's about all I need, two or three good friends. But I know I can trust them. I call, they come running. You know, same with me. They call, I come running. That's the way it is. But God's different, right? We can't see him, but we need to have a relationship with him. And how do you have a relationship with Christ? Is you get to know him. You spend time in his word. You spend time getting to know his character just like you would a good friend. You spend time getting to know them, spending quality time together, learning about each other, how we think, how we process things. That's how you get to the place where you trust God in all that you do. You get to know his character. And his character will tell you a lot. And you know, then you can move from a open-handed person, or from a closed-fisted person to an open-handed person. We need to do a hand exchange sometimes. We need to move from closed to open. And, you know, the first characteristic of a closed-fisted person is stinginess. We need to move from stinginess to generosity. In Corinthians 8:7, it reads, "But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, so that you also excel in the grace of giving." In other words, you need to learn to become excellent givers. How do you become an excellent giver? You give. You give. Of your time. You give of your resources. You give of your words. That's how you become an excellent giver. Maybe it can start right here at church and take your family out to dinner after church. Ooh, we can't afford that. You can't afford not to. You need to become an excellent giver. Now, we don't go out after church a lot, but we have family dinner either at our house or my mother-in-law's house every Sunday. It's part of, you know, just getting together and being together and spending time together. You need to learn to become excellent givers. You need to put those stinginess practices away. But that's hard to do if you've been doing it a long time. You know, I'll be a great giver once I have some money. I've heard that a lot. Once I get some money, I'll be a good giver. No, you're not a good giver now when you're broke. You're not going to be a good giver when you got money. It's a proven fact. I'm not talking, when I say give, everybody automatically thinks money, right? Give money, give money. No, it's not about money. It's about an open mind, about an attitude, about a mindset to be the giver of the group. To be, when you're at a dinner with some friends, are you like the slow receive check to grab the check? Or do you snatch it up? Is there a fight for that check at the end of the night? I know people that I've been around. Man, sometimes they don't even tell you. They just hand the card to the waitress and they take care of it. So they just don't even know. Are you one of those people that, you know, is a little slow reaching for the check at the end of the night? Or are you the first one to grab it, lay your card cash down, whatever? It's a mindset. It's a mindset. It's to become an excellent giver. Look at what God has done. He gave his only son to us. He gave his only son to us, and we need to emulate our father. You know, sometimes when Brian and I are together, they're like, "Ah, he looks a lot like you." And Brian's like, "Great." But if you go back and look at pictures of the same age, when I was the same age as him, it was a long time ago, by the way, we do look a lot alike. And we walk the same. We talk, we talk about a lot of the same things. We like the same music. He's emulating his father, right? We need to emulate our father in heaven. He's the ultimate giver, right? We need to be the ultimate giver in life. You see that with parents and kids a lot. They start acting like you. Sometimes good, sometimes not so good. Like when I drive, I road rage a little bit. I'll be honest with you. I will, if they're driving slow, I'll be like, "It's the pedal on the right." Are we in a parade here? The other day, my daughter, Cassidy, she usually plays that piano over there. I was riding with her, and she was doing the same thing, and I'm like, "Oh, Lord. I've created a monster. But it's funny." Yeah. Driving, I don't have a lot of patience with that, and unfortunately, I've passed some of that on to my kids. But what I'm trying to get at is try to be like your Father in heaven. Strive to be him. Strive to do what he's called you to do. You know, we talked about if you're a Christ follower this morning, you've come into a relationship with Christ, that giving spirit's on the inside of you already. You've got to follow what's on the inside of you and do what God's called you to do. Remember, it says unduly withholding. He's not telling you to give if you don't have it. He's saying if you have it and you unduly withhold it. There's a difference there. I'm not telling you to give if you don't have the resources to give or you don't have the time to give at that particular time. It's if you have it and you don't do it. If you have the time and you don't do it, that's unduly withholding. We're just taking that time for us, right? We're just taking that time for us. But if you're here today and you're not a Christ follower, you haven't come into a relationship with Christ, your heart is not one of giving yet. You haven't received Christ as your as your personal Lord and Savior. The only way that change is going to come is if you place your trust in Christ and you ask him to come into your life and you ask him to be the Lord of your life and you confess it with your mouth. That's how you replace that exchange. That's how you become open-handed in that process. You exchange, you do the Christ exchange, really. You know, you change from your heart to God's heart. And then you have the heart of giving. Do you remember back when you were first saved? Some of us, it's been a long time. Do you remember? I remember when I was first saved, I was thinking it was at a concert, actually. It was in the Methodist Church. And what was that group called, Denise? Do you remember? It wasn't Up With People, was it? There was one. But it was a young group that came through and put on a concert, and I received Christ that night, and I was in high school. But I remember the feeling after that. To this day, I remember that feeling that something's different now. Now, I've been to church before. Supposedly had been saved before, or what I thought had been saved. You know, you come up to the front. I lived in a cul-de-sac with a Nazarene pastor, and he had 7 boys. And they would drag us to church a lot, which was great. And, you know, I'd come up, and every time they'd have a call, you know, I'd come up. I didn't know what it meant. It was a little strange to me. But that time, when I finally realized what it meant, I can remember my heart just feeling unbelievable joy. Unbelievable joy. I thought, why did I wait so long for this? That was more of a transformation there, right? Because the first times I didn't really understand it. Not much transformation there. Not much anything there. But that time, I remember that. And it did. I felt something different in my heart. Now, was I perfect after that? No. I had to build up the spirit man in my body through the word of Christ and knock down the worldly man in my body. That takes a little bit of a time, but it's a transformation process. And you got to make that transformation. And it takes you from being a stingy, close-handed person to an open-handed giver. Over time, it can, if you let it, if you let God in, if you let him into your heart. There's ways to be generous around. We talked about, you know, taking your family out. The first place to start with generosity is really at home. Really. I mean, that's your first line of ministry. It's your family. You know, the first things, if you can't treat your family generous and take care of them, can you be really generous to somebody else? I mean, I want my kids to work hard and do those things and have a good work ethic and be good people. And if they don't, I'll bust them. But no, not too often. But I also want to be generous. You know, I have 2 kids that graduated college with no debt, paid for a car. You know, God blessed us to be able to do that. Yeah, that's something I didn't have, and that's great. I wanted to be generous to them that way. They've all had braces. Brian's in the middle of his braces now. He's got the rubber bands thing, so they're slinging everywhere, laying everywhere. We go through this every time with a kid. His rubber bands. Madison had the worst teeth. Madison's the blonde. That's, by the way, I'm going to be a grandpa, by the way. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that, to be honest with you. I don't feel like a grandpa. But Madison, her teeth were so bad. Oh, my goodness. She had these big old buck teeth, and she had headgear. She had the palate expander. You ever seen that, where the rod running across and you have to turn it with a wrench every night? She had she wore braces longer than anybody, and then she had to. They all have to wear retainers afterwards. But yeah, the shape of her head, her face changed too, because they had to expand that palate and to give room for her teeth to come in. She was a mess. I wouldn't be a grandfather today without those braces. From lack to abundance right there. I'm glad she's not here to hear that. That's funny. No. But you want good things for your kids, right? You want the best for them. I do. Some people are pretty hard on them. They're like, nope, you got to do everything on your own. You got to buy your own clothes. You got to buy your own food. You got to do this. And I think just the opposite. I want to provide my kids with everything I can. We hold them accountable. My kids are okay. You know, they're doing okay. But we hold them accountable. We make them do things like that. But I want better for them than I had for myself. Leave it better than you found it, right? Leave it better than you found it. As a Christian, that's what you should want to do. In Scripture, 2 Corinthians 9:6, it says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. I think that pretty well speaks for itself. You give sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. You're going to harvest sparingly. If I was a farmer and I planted, so many plants to the acre and I tried to stretch my seed out so my cost is down, well, my harvest isn't going to be as good. Just isn't going to work as well. It's not going to double my harvest. But if I sow accordingly, sow what I'm supposed to, I'll have a good harvest because that's how you're supposed to do it. Sometimes you just want to get inside people's heads, right? And you're like, this does work. This is real. This God's system is real. It's for real. My wife and I have been married 29 years, over 29 years, 30 years in February, we'll be married. And early on in our relationship, before we were married, we've been tithers. We've been tithers that whole time. And sometimes it's hard to, if you think about it, it's hard to tithe. If you don't think about it, God blesses the 90% that you have after the tithe. We've been tithers. And do I tithe? Do I give to get back? No. I tithe and give because that's what God's told me to do. But God just said, I'll take care of you if you do those things. The biggest reason I tithe is to rebuke the devourer. You know, that's huge. That's huge. Rebuke the devourer? The devourer of who? Satan. That's what a tithe can do, man. It can save you from going through a bunch of stuff. I don't give to get. Matter of fact, when I give, I don't even care what happens to it after that. I was just told to give. One time there was a kid that wanted money to go on a trip, a mission trip. And I gave some money to this teenager. And this was a long time ago. I mean, 15 years ago. And I gave money to this person. Well, they ended up not going on the trip and they just kept the money for themselves or whatever. Fine. And somebody was come to me and said, you know, they just kept that money. They didn't go on the trip or anything. I said, that's between them and God. You know, I did what I was supposed to do. I gave freely. No strings attached. I did what I was supposed to do. Now that's between them and God. And, you know, I can't control that. I give freely. And I think that person was trying to stir the pot a little bit. Like, you know, they didn't do what they said they were going to do. You should go tell them. And, nah, it's between them and God. It's hard to release that kind of stuff. And we do talk about money a lot. We do talk about money. We talk about tithing in here, tithing 10% of your income. Every time I get paid, I tithe 10%. I don't write a check anymore. I give online. But we've done that for a lot of years. But the real giving starts after 10%. That's the real giving, when it really counts. 10% says, God said, that's mine, that's holy, that's what you're supposed to do. And the 10% shows God that you're really plugged into his system. And that's a way for me to show that I put God's place first in my finances by giving that 10%. Now, what I do above the 10%, whether it's here or whether it's to some individual, whether it's to some organization, what I do above that is really the blessing when it comes in. Because we give to all kinds of stuff. We got a bunch of little salesmen and saleswomen in schools. They all got to push something, right? They got popcorn, they got meats, they got cheeses. We buy it all. I mean, you know, we buy it all. But they're all, you know, they get, they're trying to win trips to Hawaii or something, I think. I don't know. But it really means that we go above and beyond where we're supposed to go. It's a giver's heart. I don't know if I can stress that enough. I don't know if I can stress that in a practical way, that once you get to that place in your heart where you can trust God with everything. Sometimes we trust him with our soul. We trust him with our health. We trust him with your health. But we don't trust him with our finances. Not everybody. A lot of people do in here. There's a lot of givers in here. It's just amazing to me. You guys might know I'm the church treasurer, so I take up the count every Sunday and count, and it sometimes it just amazes me. It's seeing people do what they're supposed to do, you know? Seeing people take care of what they're supposed to take care of. It just amazes me, the giver's heart of people. I always think of Tom Wasinger. I mean, he's somebody that he grumbles a lot, though. He complains a lot. But he's a giver. You know, he's a giver. We went over one time, and this is a story about Tom's heart. We went over to help a person move over in Ellis one time, and we took, I don't know, several men over there and went and helped this gal move. And before we left, Tom goes, I think we need to take up some money between us and give it to her, be a blessing to her. I didn't even think of that. I mean, that's Tom. And she needed it. I mean, she not only needed the help to move, she could use a few extra dollars. And that's just the kind of heart he is. That's a giver's heart. He thinks about that kind of stuff. And that's awesome. He's tuned into what God's wanting him to do. You know, some people say, oh, I can't afford to tithe. And I've always said that I can't afford not to tithe. I've always said that I can't afford not to have God's hand on my finances, on my life. I can't afford not to do that. There'll be room enough. They'll pour out a blessing that there will not be room enough to contain it. And we say those words a lot. And we talk about those things a lot, but it takes commitment on your part to walk through that. There's been times that I could use the tithe to pay some bills. I'll be 100% honest with you. There's times when I could have used the money to, you know, pay for whatever, a medical bill or something. It's pretty tempting, but I know if I did that one time, I'd do it again, and I'd do it again. And instead, we kept on tithing, and whatever it was at that time. See, I don't even remember whatever it was at that time. It was taken care of. We had the money eventually, or somebody blessed us with it. I mean, it was taken care of. It's hard to say those words, but it's harder to be consistent in those words. The most tangible ways you can go from a closed-fisted to an open-fisted giver is just don't think about yourself. You know, when you had kids, when I had kids, I had to come to a realization pretty quick. It's not about me anymore. And that's pretty hard because I'm pretty special. Pretty big deal around here. But you had to come to a realization that it's not about you. It's about your kids. And really, that's kind of the way it is in life. It's not about you. It's about what impact you can have on other people's lives. It's about the impact in the circle of influence that you operate in. It's about what you can do for others. God will bless that. He'll honor that. That's just scripture right there. Open-handed people are excellent givers. They're always giving of their time, their talent, and their treasure. They're always got the confidence of God, and they're always very positive outlook on life. Sometimes we, in this society, day and age, we get inflation, interest rates, gas is on $4. Yeah. How am I going to make it? I don't even think about it. Yeah, it costs more, but God will bless us. We'll figure it out. I don't stress about it. I don't stress about it. Now, when I go to fill up my pickup, it's like, holy cow. Hope this card works. No, we pay off our cards every month and take care of business. But, you know, it's always been one of those things that God has taken care of us throughout our lives. And it's a good testimony to other people when they can see you as an example of a giver. You know, we're supposed to be a light in every neighborhood, right? Are you a light where you're at, where you operate at? Or are you kind of half dim? Are you on a dimmer switch? You got to be that light because people want to see that, right? That's what attracts them to the to Christ and see how you act. People are watching everything you do. Your kids especially are watching. So today, guess what time it is? It's giving time. That was totally by accident that we have the offering at the end of the service. Actually, guys, that whole message was not to get you to give. That whole message was to get you to think about what kind of person are you as far as just being open with all that you have and all that God's given you. Just what kind of person do you want to be? That's what it boils down to. You know, you do what God tells you to do with the tithes and offerings, whatever. You do that, what God tells you to do. I'm not trying to pressure you to do anything. I've been in services where pastors and preachers and evangelists really get down and and you can tell, I mean, when you're there. But no pressure whatsoever. Wednesday night, we listened to, Robert Morris, thank you. And it was actually on giving. That was one of the best sermons I'd heard on giving. I almost just should have showed that instead of you guys having to listen to me. But it was pretty interesting, some of the stories he's told of his testimony in life about how he had one meeting that month. And wherever he went, you know, usually evangelists and things and pastors, they have requirements for you to come. Like you'll take up a love offering, you cover your expenses. And God told him not to do that. And so when a church asked him to come, what are your financial requirements? He said, I have none. I have none. And that's pretty rare, apparently. I didn't realize that, but that's pretty rare that most of these traveling ministers and stuff have financial requirements. So he went to this one meeting, and he had that one meeting for the whole month, and he needed some money to cover his expenses for that whole month. And usually they have multiple meetings per month. Well, he had one. So, you know, Robert Morris plugged in, man. He knows what God's wanting him to do. So he goes, and they did receive a love offering for him, and it was enough of a love offering to cover his expenses for the whole month. Well, while he was there, right before he preached, there was a missionary that had shared before he preached, and God told Robert Morris to give that offering to that missionary. And, you know, just like anybody else would, get behind me, Satan. You know, he had expenses to cover here. But he did what God told him to do. And so they went to dinner that night, and a guy at the dinner table was saying, where's that check at you got from the church? And he didn't want to tell anybody that he gave it to this missionary. And this guy kept pushing and kept pushing, and finally he said, you gave it away, didn't you? He said, yeah, you gave it to that missionary, didn't you? And he's thinking, oh, no, this is going to be terrible. He's going to, I don't know. He was nervous. So the guy reaches in his pocket and has a whole check, covers his expenses for a year. And he said, God told me before I came tonight to write two checks, one for just a general love offering and one for something else. I didn't know what. And so he did, and that guy handed Robert Moore. And this was not a small ministry, I'm sure, at that time. Covers his expenses for a year compared to 1 month. That's just how God does it, right? That's just how he does it. And but he's, you know, he's all in. He listens to God and does what he's told to do. Let's receive today's tithes and offerings. Lord, we just thank you today. We just thank you that we can honor you and do what you asked us to do. We just thank you that this is a blessing to be able to give. Lord, we just thank you for the continued blessings in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I told my wife I'd keep it short since she's back in children's church. So I did my job right. So let's stand together.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, We invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.